I'll ask you to take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 19. First several verses of chapter 19 actually deal with what material was presented back in chapters 17 and 18. Sort of a parenthetical insert summed up after Babylon the Great has been judged in her commercial and her spiritual embodiment. And then we saw all heaven saying hallelujah. And then we saw the 24 elders and the living creatures just assenting. And then thirdly, we saw the hallelujah coming from the throne saying, Lord God, omnipotent reigns. So it's an announcement. God is going to actually set up a kingdom down here, folks. And we get to get in on all that. And I'm telling you, you know, we get so overwhelmed with the spirit of our age. So many playthings, so many things that make it hard for us to imagine God turning the plate over and wiping it clean. But folks, Jesus is coming. And He's on the move. And things are happening even as we speak this morning. I actually read an article that appeared just yesterday about how over in Iran, their newest main guy over there in the Islamic world is calling for his people to do everything they can to force the coming of the next Imam, or the primary Messiah in their vernacular. That means bombs. That means killing. That means mayhem. That means the world is at a kind of a holding pattern, like a plane on the tarmac, just ready to take off. Those people are trying to stir some things up. And I believe that what we're seeing in our day is the priming of the pump for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you one thing you can look at with the Islamic and Muslim world and the things that are going on out there is that that will galvanize the European Union. Have you ever heard the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend? And when you see the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and you see this whole thing being galvanized over there, those people come into their own and begin to agree on things they might not have agreed about before. And we see all kinds of stuff happening on the threshold of our history in which we live. So as you look at chapter 19, understand that as this whole vision of Babylon the Great being destroyed and toppled, and the world being turned upside down, if you will, and God beginning to seize back the reins of this world in which we live, the Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. So understand that when you're looking at what God sees and what we see, sometimes they're not always in conjunction with one another. You and I need to recognize that we are, as we sit here this morning, saved children of God, we are the bride of Christ. We need to, as it were, begin to get our hope chests in order. You know, we don't do that anymore. People have put that on the back burner or put it in the days gone by. But the reality is that for centuries, women had a hope chest. And we remember when our girl was coming up, we would put some dishes away and say, when she gets married one day, those will be her dishes. And we would prepare. And there were certain things like clothing and different things, silverware. Well, in those old times, they would do things like that with clothing more than with dishes and stuff like that. And what we see in this passage is in verse 7 that the wedding of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And in verse 8 it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, or literally the righteousnesses, or the righteous acts of the saints. Now, understand, we don't get to heaven by our good works. That's clear throughout Scripture. But what we do is we get rewards for what we do that are good and that remains. The Bible says that even a cup of cold water given in the name of Jesus will not lose its reward. So when we have the opportunity and privilege to stand side by side with our Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom and rule and reign with Him, it will not be because we deserve it. It will be because we've been given a position in His family. The Prince, the King of the universe, has set His affection on us. And He said, come up and stand with me. You identify yourself with me. And because He did that in the here and now, you and I are ennobled in our souls. When we look in the mirror and see what God says about us to be true, we begin to think, Wait a minute, I'm a saint of Almighty God. I am God's child. And when we really see it through eyes of faith, it changes us. The Bible says, with a heart one believes unto righteousness. Do you believe unto righteousness? You see, that's what God says. You are His bride. You are His child. You are the apple of His eye. And one day the Lord Jesus will come, take us in the rapture, take us for 7 years into His inner chamber. And at the end of the 7 years, He will come back and He will bring us with Him. The Bible says in verse 8 that it was granted to her that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The word white means brightness. Brightness. You see, when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And what that means is, even as Moses, and we see it in Scripture, so you go back and you plunder the Old Testament, you see some pretty cool stuff. You see Moses up on the top of a mountain, and he's getting the law from Almighty God. And after he comes down, actually the second 40 days that he spends up there, he comes down and his face shone. They couldn't even look at him. They said, "Look away from us. But cover your face, because it's just kind of scary for us. We can't absorb it." But folks, all of us are going to see Him face to face. And we know that when we shall see Him, we will be like Him. For we will see Him as He is. We will have that glow about us. And the Bible speaking here of the fine linen means the purity, the cleanness. He has cleansed us with His blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the Bible tells us that we're going to be bright as well. Shining ones, if you will. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. Verse 9 says, "And He said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Now those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb are not simply those who are of the church. It's the church, certainly, because that's Christ and that's His bride. But the reality is, there's all the family and friends. The Bible says you are called unto a city whose builder and maker is God. And that in Mount Zion there are the spirit of just men made perfect. That's all Old Testament saints. And then there's going to be there the tribulation saints. And they're going to get to go into the millennium. And they're all called to the marriage supper. And the marriage supper is going to go on for 1,000 years. Blessed are those, the Bible says in verse 9, that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, "These are the true sayings of God." As if he even has to say it. But you know what? God knows that when we come down to your time and my time, this time, the time we're in, the delusion is going to be deep. The delusion is going to be great. And we're going to have some hard time just getting our minds around God making all things new. He says, "I want you to know these are the true sayings of God. Do not set your affections on down here, folks." The Bible says, "Seek those things which are above. Lay up treasures in heaven where God is, where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal." Folks, Jesus is coming, and we, in just a little while yonder, are going to be on the other side of all this mess. And we look at the economy of our day and we say, "Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa." But folks, we have no reason to despair. When the things start going down here, we realize it's almost time for us to go up there. Amen? I'm excited about Him coming. And I'll tell you what, our whole study was motivated by the recent turn of events in our country. Everything's turning upside down. But we go to the book of Revelation, just like we go throughout Scripture, and we see God is faithful. He always will do and accomplish what He sets out to do and accomplish. God never fails. And He tells us assuredly He will come. And the Bible says in verse 10, that after John received this, he said, "I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. Why? For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what that means is this, folks, listen. You can get excited about a person. You can get excited about some stuff. You can get excited about... But all of that will wear out. But if you get excited about Jesus, that will never wear out. Look at all He's got ready for us. He took care of our sin. He took care of our despair. He took care of our lost condition. And when we start talking about that, that's exciting. But wait a minute. There's more. He gave us a future and He gave us a hope. And He says, "You're going to rule and reign with me." It just keeps getting better and better. The problem we have is we are not students of God's Word. You see, John was ready to fall on his face and worship this angel. The angel says, "Don't do that. You need to stay focused. Focus on God. Because the testimony of Jesus, God, is the Spirit of prophecy. And for you to keep your mind around what's coming, you've got to look at Jesus. Who was He? Well, He once came and they gave Him a cross. He's coming again. He's going to get a crown. He once came and they gave Him a thorn. He's coming to take a throne. He once came and they gave Him nothing but slaps. He's coming and He's going to receive all adoration. Folks, listen, when He comes, He's going to come in power next time. The Bible tells us in verse 11, and this is where we see the parentheses really ends. He's done talking about Babylon, old news, bad thoughts, yuck, you know, let's kind of wipe ourselves off. Babylon, do you feel like that in your world? It's a dirty world, it's a dusty world, it's a corrupting world. God says, now all that's done, I had to tell you because you need to know it's going to be turned upside down. You need to know there's going to be some people called at the last minute out of her before I'd really turn around and judge her into annihilation. But now what we see is verse 11. The Bible says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. Beloved, that's our Lord Jesus, and this is a book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. It's all about Jesus. God wants you to know that He is mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. And that the government shall rest upon His shoulders. And one day He who will come shall come and will not tarry. And when you see God breaking the sky, the Bible tells us that He comes on a white horse. Now we saw a white horse earlier in the book, didn't we? We saw that white horse in chapter 6, but that man came from the earth. He came riding upon a horse, and He came forth conquering and to conquer, and He had a bow with no arrow, and he was a politician. We saw Him to be the Antichrist, the masterpiece of the devil. He's the guy who says, I understand what's going on. I see in the machinery of things that if I cooperate with everything that is evil and untoward, everything that is immoral and godless, that the devil will animate my every effort. Folks, why do people rise to the top in this world? And it's because they throw everything that is good and godly overboard. When they throw that off, they get the blessing of the world. They get the blessing of the media, and they get the blessing of the lost masses. They say, yes, freedom. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Don't write any laws. Don't tell me I'm immoral. Tell me I'm going to be okay. And it's going to be a better... Tell me everything I want to hear. The Bible says in the last days men will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine sometimes is hard because it says, you know what? The things you've set your affections on earth are not where they should be set. And when you set your affections on them, you go to sleep. And you know what the metaphor of sleep is? Is that when you go to sleep, say at 11 o'clock at night and 7 comes, it seems like but a moment. You see, this world is all about putting you into a sleep and into a slumber and getting you to waste time. And it goes by so quick, and pretty soon you're in your 50s or your 60s and you're thinking, what have I done with my life? I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to say, what have I got to bring to you? Folks, we act like it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to stand before God. And the world in which we live is so full of a deluding influence that we let week after week after week go by. Not concerning ourselves for what our children are being exposed to. Not concerning ourselves for what ourselves are being exposed to. Not concerning ourselves with our neighbors and our family. People we say we love. We act like it doesn't matter. We just don't want to be bothered. Well, the Bible says that he who will come shall come. And here it is in black and white in verse 11. I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. Now what you're going to see in the final verses of this chapter are four things. First of all, you're going to see the coming of our Lord. Secondly, you're going to see the calling of the birds. Thirdly, you're going to see the capture of the beast. And finally, you're going to see the crushing of the grapes. Now as you look at this picture in verse 11, the Bible says that I saw heaven open to behold a white horse. Now, heaven opened hasn't been so since the Garden of Eden. You know, God and man has been separated since that time. God came to Adam in the cool of the day and he fellowshipped with him. When man sinned, he went into a darkness. God put him out of the garden, lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever, perpetually in his sin. God built, as it were, a wall between him and man because his sinful presence could not be in God's presence, which is holiness. And so what God did was he spanned through the corridors of time. He's built a superstructure upon which we can live, for the just shall live by faith. We don't see him, but we love Him. You know, we understand that He is the one who has the wounds in His hands in eternity. And we're going to see Him in all of His brightness, all of His glory. And we're going to know Him immediately because He's the apple of our eye, the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. And when we see Him, we'll know Him. But it hasn't been so that the